what I want to do tonight is I want to give you some possible standards that you could get from one of those sets of verses. As I started studying this evening, this was a good exercise for me. As I was studying for this evening, as I was going through this, I was just thinking through a lot of this. This helped me personally. I feel like it's going to help you. So I want to teach it to you. These are not standards that I am saying that you should have. These are standards that I'm saying I should have based on the way I've read the Bible, I've understood the Bible, and some standards that I am trying to have. I think they'd be good ones, but I'm not saying you should have them just because I have them. I'm just giving you some suggestions. Are you with me on that? Okay. If you're with me on that, then we could go forward. We went through several different verses. I think I gave you 5 or 6 different passages of scriptures last week, and I gave you some principles, and these are convergence principles. These are principles that all work together to support the same theme, and the theme last week, if you remember, was the difference between men and women. I'm not going to go through all of those tonight, but there's one, there's the very first one, and I'm just going to give you some thoughts. I want you to think. I'm hoping to just to kind of spur you just a little bit into thinking about this, because I believe these are some things that will help you. Now, if you remember, actually, let's read this first, then I'll give you a quick review. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22, and we will read through verse number 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. We're going to expand this just a little bit more than we did last week. The Bible says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So we've got some scripture here, and here's what we're going to do. Starting with this scripture, we're going to try to develop some principles. Give you a couple principles. So scripture to principle, and what comes next? What's the next step as we develop standards? It is conviction. Scripture, principle, conviction. And then the last one is standards. Okay, so what I want to do is with this passage of scripture, I want to work from the scripture, develop a couple principles, maybe challenge you to even develop some convictions about what the Bible says right here, and that could lead to some standards. Now, what are those things? Just a quick reminder, scripture is the Bible. A biblical principle is me understanding the Bible. A biblical conviction is me believing the Bible, and a biblical standard is me living the Bible. I want to live a way that pleases God. That's the whole purpose of this. I want to live in a way that pleases God. The purpose of this is not to live better than somebody else. The purpose of this is not to think of myself more highly than I ought to think. My whole purpose here is to please God. So if I can develop some standards so that I can live according to what the Bible teaches, it'll help me to live in a way to please God. Remember this, Scripture is settled. It never changes. Bible principle is the Scripture applied to my life. A Bible conviction is what I believe the Bible means. A Bible standard is how I personally plan to obey the Bible. So you've got this passage of Scripture, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then in verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I just want you to think tonight. I want you to try to do this. As we start with the Scripture, we talk about some principles, we give you some thoughts to help you to develop a conviction. What do you believe about that? If somebody was to ask you, what do you believe about those verses? What would you tell them? I want you to be able to answer that. I want you to be able to give that clear answer. But before you can do that, you've got to know what's in your heart. You got to know what you believe. And then the standard part. The standard part is basically some guidelines that I go by, that you go by, to help me live according to the Bible. So that's what I want to work through tonight. Let me give you an illustration first. This is the title tonight, Standards for Authority in the Home. Again, these are not standards that I'm saying you need to live. You have to live these standards because you're part of this church. No, these are some standards that I have decided to live by, and I'm trying to. Let me tell you this first of all. I mess up on this a lot. If you were to look at me as the example, sometimes I'm going to get it right, but sometimes I'm not. So I'm not teaching this as a, hey, I have arrived and I always get all of this right, so you need to do it too. I'm striving for this. I'm trying for it. I'm working toward it, but I'm certainly not there like Google Maps tells me I have arrived sometimes. It feels good, though, when it tells me that. Let me talk to the men, the husbands, and the dads to start with tonight. What would you do? Maybe even those young men that one day will be a husband or maybe will be a dad. What would you do if you and your family were on a small airplane? Maybe you're flying somewhere to go on vacation, or saw a picture of some family members this last a couple weeks ago flying over the Grand Canyon, touring the Grand Canyon, just looking around. That's the kind of plane you're on, just a small airplane. And the pilot got sick and couldn't fly the plane. Now, there are probably some of you here who are trained to fly a plane, all right? Pretend like you're not, all right? This will apply a little bit better to you that way. The pilot's sick. He can't fly the plane anymore. It's not just you on the plane. It's you and your family on this plane. A voice comes over the radio and says, "This is the control tower. Your pilot just radioed and made us aware of the situation. I can help you land your plane safely if you follow my directions." You're on the plane. Your family is on the plane. The pilot is no longer flying the plane. What do you do? Do you think, "I can't do this"? Do you think, "I don't want this kind of pressure"? Do you think, "This is not what I agreed to when I got on the plane. I just want out. I'm done with this. This is not the way it was supposed to go. This is too hard for me. I'm done." Or would you look at your wife and say, "Just do whatever you want. I don't care." I know this sounds silly, but this is the way we're looking at our life. Or would you rise to the challenge to get your family on the ground safely? I believe that's what most men would do. I believe that's what most of us would at least think. I hope that's what I would do. I would do everything I could. The voice comes over the radio and says, "Listen, I can help you get to the ground safely. You just got to follow my instructions." What are you doing? "I'm throwing the pilot out the window and I'm taking his seat." "No, I'll take the other seat next to him." "I'm going to do whatever I can to get my family to the ground safely. I'll follow those directions. But more important than that, I'm going to grab that wheel." It's not really a wheel. What do they call those? Somebody help me. It's a yoke, right? Is that right? A yoke? All right, in a plane? I'm going to grab that yoke. And I'm going to do what I can to get my family down. Or what am I going to do? I'm going to die trying, literally. I'm going to try to get them down. I'll follow the directions. I will take that yoke. I will sit down in that seat. I'll put on the headphones. I'll do whatever I can to get them to the ground. But we're a generation of men who are sitting back and allowing the plane to crash, unless someone else grabs the controls. If we just look around, the stereotypical man in our generation is not grabbing the yoke. We're not grabbing hold on to that stick. We're not grabbing the wheel. We're kind of stepping back and letting somebody else do it. Sometimes it's because we're too busy. Sometimes it's because we don't care. Sometimes it's because we've just got just too much else going on. So we're letting somebody else take a hold of that. And we're a generation of men who are just sitting back. And the plane's going to crash unless someone else grabs the controls. So that means that we are also a generation of women who've been forced to take the controls because nobody else will. Dad's not flying the plane. My husband's not going to fly this plane. So I've got to do it because nobody else is doing it. And it's up to me now because nobody else who's supposed to be doing this is doing it. We're a generation of children who have parents who are so busy with other pursuits that we've been left to do whatever we want with the controls. Mom's busy, dad's busy. They probably care, but they're just so busy. In some cases, they really just don't care. And here we are. We're the kids. We're in the plane. Mom's doing her thing. Dad's doing his thing. The plane's about to crash. Somebody's got to do something. So what do? We're the kids. We do whatever we want with the controls. We're just having fun, right? I know that's a silly illustration, but this describes so many of our families. A husband must lead his family when he would rather follow. A wife must follow her husband even when she would rather lead. Now, why is that? That's God's plan. That's the way God made it. Now, it's not politically correct and it's not socially acceptable in a lot of circles, but listen, that's the way God made it. That's the way God made us. And I want to give you some principles that might help with that. Okay, so we read these passages. Just a couple. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Not every man's husband, not every man, but to your own husband. That's the way God made it, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, a couple principles. First of all, God wants a difference in authority in the home for the man and for the woman. That's what we preached about last week. They're supposed to be different. A man's authority in the home is God. A woman's authority in the home is her husband. That's the way God set that up. Here's another principle. A husband answers directly to God and is responsible for leading his wife and loving his wife, while a wife answers directly to her husband and is responsible for submitting to him. This is a big responsibility. A man answers directly to God. God is a holy God. God is a just God. God is a very demanding God, as we'll see in a little bit. But he's also a very loving God. And as a husband, you will stand before God. You will answer for the state of your family, just as a pastor will answer for the state of the church. You will answer to God for that family that he has put you in to lead. So there's a couple principles. So what kind of conviction would I develop about that? If those are the principles, if this is what the Bible is teaching, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to believe about that? Well, let me just give you a couple thoughts that I wrote down that I believe. You don't have to believe the same thing. This is what I believe. I believe that God gave the husband the authority over his home, along with the responsibility to lead his family in a Christ-like manner. Two things that work together. God gave the husband the authority over his home and the command or the responsibility to lead his family in a Christ-like manner. How did Christ lead the church? He loved the church, gave himself for the church. You've got authority and responsibility. To have responsibility without authority will leave a person in a position where they can't make decisions. Have you ever been given a job? Maybe at work, and you've been given a job and your boss says, here's your job to do, but he doesn't give you the authority to make any decisions about that job. So you've been given a job, you've been given some responsibility, you got to make sure something happens, but you don't have any authority to make it happen. It doesn't work very well. You have to have, with the responsibility comes the authority. As a husband, you are responsible to guide your house, to lead your home, to raise your family. You've been given that responsibility, and in because of that, God says, I'm also giving you the authority to do that. You are the one who is going to be the authority in that home. So I believe that God gave the husband the authority over his home, along with the responsibility to lead his family in a Christ-like manner. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. I also believe that a wife should be a help to her husband by submitting to his leadership. We're not going to go through all the scriptures about that. We're just going to talk about really these scriptures tonight. But you can look up Genesis and you can see where God established these roles. You can look in 1 Corinthians and see where God talks about this as well. But from those convictions, I believe this. I believe God gave the husband authority over his home with the responsibility of leading his family in Christ-like manner. I believe that God gave a woman, a wife, a responsibility to submit to her husband. And so that belief is based on these principles and this scripture. So with those convictions, what are some standards that I will live? How do I live that? This is where there's usually a disconnect. I know what the Bible says. I've seen some principles. And I may even believe some things, but what am I going to do about it? Let me challenge you in some areas. These are some areas that I've just thought through. These are some areas that I'm working on. I thought they might help you if I just share you what I'm thinking with you what I'm thinking. Let me talk to the husbands first. Just some standards. And really, I'm talking to myself, and I'll just let you listen in as I talk to myself. Usually, it's a pretty interesting conversation as I talk to myself, but I'll let you listen in today. First of all, and I think I've got something in my eye. I've got 13 standards that I just came up with. Just kind of simple, but I think they might help you. And I just want you to understand something. I don't have these books and books of standards that I live by. I wrote these ones down because I'm teaching this lesson tonight. Most of these are things that I try to live by that I've never written down, all right? So I'm not saying you have to have a big book of all these standards and guidelines and rules and things, but they ought to be something that you develop and something at least you've thought through that you could, if somebody was to ask you, or if you're coming into a situation, you could at least live by them because you've thought through them. All right, so first one is this. I will take the responsibility of leading my wife and children spiritually. As a husband, as a dad, I will take the responsibility of leading my wife and children spiritually. And let me explain that a little bit. Even if I don't like being a leader, I'll take the responsibility of leading my wife and children spiritually. I don't like being a leader in some cases. There's sometimes I really don't. You know, one of the reasons why I don't like being a leader, some of you older than me, you can help me, because the buck stops here. What president said that? Was that Franklin Roosevelt? Eisenhower? Okay, see, I was so out of it. That was not even close. I'll take the responsibility even if I don't like it. It's my job, so I'll do it. That means I have to be growing spiritually. If I'm going to take the responsibility of leading my wife and children spiritually, I've got to be growing spiritually. I can't lead my wife and kids to do something I'm not willing to do. I've tried this, and I can't fake spiritual leadership for very long. We can't fake it very long. I go a couple days without spending time with God, without reading my Bible. After a while, it starts to show. I can't fake it. So if I'm going to take the responsibility of leading my wife and children spiritually, I've got to be growing spiritually. It also means I have to be an adult. I can't waste my time playing when I have a family to lead. There's a transition that has to happen. Whenever I become a husband, whenever I become a dad, now I'm not just responsible for me anymore. I'm responsible for some other people. I'm responsible to care for this wife that I've accepted and I've promised to take care of and these children that are in this world now. That means I can't waste my time playing when I have a family to lead. This sounds crazy, but true story. A man and wife were having so many problems with their marriage that they decided on a divorce. They each made a list of what things they wanted to keep when they went their separate ways. The top item on the husband's list was his Xbox and the games that went with it. Can you believe that? And that was also part of the reason for the divorce. I have to be an adult if I'm going to lead my family spiritually. I have to be responsible for the way I spend my family's money. I can't spend as much time hanging out with my friends as I used to because I have a family that needs me around. I have a wife that needs me to be there. I have kids that need me to be there. So this first standard, if I could say it this way, is a guideline for myself. I will take the responsibility of leading my wife and children spiritually. I'm going to take it. I'm going to own it. I'll accept it. God, you've given me the responsibility. I'll take it. The second one is I will be the one who makes and enforces the rules in our home. And I know what you're saying. Ah, now we're getting to it. You're an authoritarian freak. I know that. No. I will enforce, I'll make and enforce the rules. Now, not because I like making enforcing rules, but because somebody has to do it. And I'm the one who will answer to God for my family. Listen, my personality, I promise you, my personality is the opposite of that. My personality is, who needs rules? Let's just play, right? Let's just have fun. Let's don't worry about a budget. Let's don't worry about chores. Let's don't worry about all that rules stuff. That's my natural personality. But somebody's got to make some rules. Somebody's got to enforce the rules. So I'll take that responsibility because I'm the one who has to answer to God for my family. And since I have the position of authority, I also carry the weight of responsibility. Husbands, I'm trying to just be a little transparent this evening because I want to help you think through some things that may help you if you wanted to implement some standards in this area in your family. Here's another one. I will strive to maintain a close relationship with God so that I can love my wife unconditionally like Christ loves me and lead my wife spiritually like God leads me. Where does that come from? It comes from a close relationship with God. Let me say it this way. It might help. I want to spend enough time with God so that some of His goodness rubs off on me. Do you spend time with God? If you don't spend time with God, how are you going to be able to be that spiritual leader that you're supposed to be? Did you notice what the command was to husbands? We all got the wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, right? We got that part. What was the command to husbands? Husbands, love your wives. Not wives, wife. Husbands, love your wife, right? If we're in Utah, we can say it the other way. If husbands, love your wife, but how much? Even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. How much did Christ love the church? You ready? That much? Does that sound about right? So much He stretched out His hands and died on the cross. He loved us even though we killed Him. He loved us even in our sin. Husbands, our challenge is to love our wives unconditionally. And listen, there's no way to do that outside spending time with God. There really is no way. I've got to have a relationship with God. Let me give you another standard that might help you. These are some guidelines, some real life decisions. I'll make the hard decisions for my family instead of ignoring those decisions and thus forcing my wife to make them. Man, this is where a lot of us really miss it. This is where we back off and let our wife do this, and really she doesn't want to most of the time. I mean, really, if you were to ask her, I said, let our wife do this, but most of the time it's more like that airplane. We refuse to take that wheel. We put our hands in our pockets and say, somebody else needs to do this. I'm not messing with this. I'll make the hard decisions for my family instead of ignoring those decisions and forcing my wife to make them. True story, a wife sincerely wanted her husband to help her know what kind of clothes to wear as a Christian lady. She asked him, what would you like me to wear? What should I wear? He said, I don't care, just wear whatever you want. That's not what she was looking for. She's looking for him to make some of these hard decisions. Let me help you with some of these. Are we going to be involved in church? Somebody needs to make that decision. It needs to be the leader of that home. It needs to be the husband in that home. What kind of church will we go to? Do you know who usually makes that decision? It's the kids. The kids usually make that decision. And that's why so many churches that you go to, if you visit different churches, so many of the churches you go to have a wonderful kids area. And that's where they put most of the money into the, and it's beautiful. I remember seeing one, and the whole wall was lined with, at the time, I think it was Nintendo 64s. And that looked fun. If I was a kid, I'd want to go there. So it's often the kids that are making that decision, but they're not going to make a decision based on spiritual reasons. We need a husband, a dad, a man to make those decisions, a leader. Who's going to educate our children? So many times, as husbands, we're abdicating our responsibility. We're saying, I don't want to mess with this. You do it. I don't want to mess with this. You take care of that. What kind of discipline are we going to have in our home? Which friends will we allow our kids to be close to? Dads, husbands, listen to me. This is so important. Your wife has been made by God to follow your leadership. That's the way God made this to work. That's the way God, in the Garden of Eden, that's exactly what God said to Adam and to Eve. And 1 Corinthians, we'll see this another time. This is exactly what God said. This is the way that it works. And I didn't write this statement down, but I saw it as I was studying it from a previous message that I'd preached. Something along the lines of a woman is going to reach her potential whenever she is a helpmeet to her husband. But if her husband's not doing anything, if her husband's just sitting back and letting her, or making her, forcing her, pushing her to the point where she's got to make all the decisions, that's not what God made her for. I'm going to challenge some men to step up and make the hard decisions for your family. Don't force those on your wife or even on your children. It's amazing to me how many parents we talk to will invite them to church and they'll say something like this, yeah, I've got kids, but I'm not going to force them to go to church. I'm going to let them choose for themselves whenever they're old enough. We're going to wait until they're old enough. They're going to be hardened by the world, and then we're going to let them choose? What are we doing? We're forcing some very difficult decisions on our kids when we could be helping to make those decisions for them, to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me give you a couple. I'll go through these kind of quickly now. I will search the Scriptures to know the mind of God for my family. I know we don't ever understand the mind of God. Everything that God wants us to know, He's written in the Scripture. We're never going to understand the mind of God, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. What does God want for my family? What did He put in the Bible for me to be able to learn for my family? I will search the Scriptures so that I can know that. And I'll spend much time in prayer to know the will of God for my family. If I'm going to lead my family, I need to know what the Bible says about leading a family, and I need to know God's will. So I need to spend time with God. I need to spend time in prayer asking Him for wisdom to lead my family. I need to search the Scriptures. And anything I find in the Scriptures that has to do with being a leader of a family, I just want to soak that in because that's what I need because I want to lead my family. I will learn to be a leader that is worthy of respect. If I'm going to be a leader, even if I don't want to be a leader, I'm in this position. This is where I'm at. Husbands, whether you want to be a leader or not, if you are a husband, if you are a dad, you are a leader. That's God's position for you. So whether you want to be that or not, you are a leader. So I want to challenge you to be a leader that is worthy of respect. Now, you have to earn it. I know that I'm going to have to earn respect if I am going to be a leader worthy of respect. Now, My wife may be such a good Christian that she respects me anyway, but that's because she's a good Christian and it's no excuse for being a jerk on my part. I need to earn that respect. I need to be worthy of respect. I want to be a leader that is worthy of my wife respecting me, not just because she has to, but because she wants to. Now, husbands, dads, let me just challenge you. Be a leader where your kids want to respect you. They want to obey you. They want to follow you, and your wife wants to do the same. That's what I'm trying. I will learn to be a leader that's worthy of respect. Here's another standard that I think will help me. Maybe it'll help you. I will not lead from a platform of fear, but of love. What a difference. What a difference. Let me give you it this way. I'm not pushing from behind. I'm leading from in front. You know the difference? There's two different kinds of people that work with animals. The kind of person that works with animals that pushes them from behind, that's the cowboy, right? And what's he doing? He's driving cattle. The cows don't want to go there. He's driving them. He's got his whip. He's cracking them up. He's chasing them. He's driving them. But there's another kind of leader. And that kind of leader is a shepherd. And the Bible talks about a shepherd. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I want to be the kind of leader that I'm really, that's what a leader is. That's the difference between a leader and a driver. A leader is someone who is going somewhere and the sheep love him and hear his voice and they follow him. I want to lead out of love, not fear. Let me give you another thought, another standard that might help you. I think it'll help me. I will attempt to lead in such a way that those who are under my authority will want to go where I'm leading. They'll want to go where I'm leading. Does my wife want to go where I'm leading? Or am I going nowhere? This is a challenge for a lot of men in our generation. I'm really not doing anything with my life. I really have no purpose in my life. How in the world is my wife supposed to support me as I don't do anything? This leads to frustration. So I want to be a leader. I'm going to attempt to be a leader and lead in such a way that those who are under my authority will want to go with me, want to go where I'm leading. Try to be a leader that doesn't have to say, you have to follow me because I'm the leader. I heard somebody say this. When you have to say that, you're no longer the leader. Try to be the leader that doesn't have to say that because you've proved this. These other things we've talked about, you've loved so much. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to say, you have to obey me because I'm the boss. That's not the kind of leader that I want to be. I want to be the leader that is leading people who want to go where I'm leading. Now, if you're going somewhere worthwhile, then someone will probably want to follow you. Just think through that. If I'm going somewhere worthwhile, I'm loving them. I'm leading them the way the Bible says to husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. If I'm leading that way, I may just turn around and see that there is somebody following me. Instead of having to make them follow, they want to follow. Be the kind of leader they want to follow. Here's another principle, standard that I think will help me. I understand that the quality that will make me the best leader for my family is my ability to follow God. Think about this. What makes me a good leader? In this case, the better I follow God, the better leader I'm going to be for my family. If I can follow God closely, I'm going to be a lot better leader for my family because of who God is. I'm spending time with Him. His goodness is rubbing off on me. I'm learning to love like God wants me to love. And because I am loving unconditionally, and we'll get to some of this in just a minute, because of that, I can lead in a way that God wants me to lead. But the first thing I've got to do is to be a good follower. There's a great book. I love this book. The West Point Way of Leadership, written by Larry Donathorne, I think is how you say his name. He's a West Point graduate and a West Point instructor. He wrote this book, The West Point Way of Leadership, and he explains that the West Point cadets, before they are taught how to lead, you know what they're taught how to do? Follow. In fact, one of the chapters in his book is titled, Followership is Job One. I didn't even know that was a word. Leadership, yes. Followership? Followership is job one. In order to be a good leader, you must be a good follower. I know most of the time we look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, and we say, well, yep, there's a passage to women to submit to men. Well, first of all, that's way off. It's to wives to submit to their own husbands. And second, I believe we're looking at it backwards because the man's the leader and the man needs to love his wife as Christ loved the church. That's why I'm spending most of this time. Listen, men, if we would do our job and we would do it the way we're supposed to, a lot of the other stuff would fall into place. Here's another decision that I think would help me. I understand that the more I am like Christ in my leadership, the more my wife will want to be under my leadership. Let me read that again. The more I am like Christ in my leadership, the more my wife will want to be under my leadership. You know a really good way to help a marriage? For me to be more like Christ? If both people in a marriage are wanting to be more like Christ, then that's really going to help. But as a husband, if I'm more like Christ in my leadership, I think my wife would want to be under my leadership. Just think about this. Have you thought about how wonderful it is to follow Jesus? Have you thought about that? But before you think about that, just remember, he's a very demanding leader. Let me remind you of something called the Ten Commandments. Let me remind you of something called Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You read through that and you realize, wow, God, you're very demanding. Remember Jesus' response to the rich young ruler? He said, how do I get to heaven? And he said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, then follow me. Whoa. He's a very demanding leader. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what he told us. But he's a leader with extremely high standards, but also with unconditional love, unexplained mercy, and an undeniable goodness. He's a good leader. Yes, high standards. Yes, high expectations. But wow, he loves me. And anybody that loves me like that, I want to follow. He loved me so much, he died for me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Psalm 145, 9, the Bible says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember how wonderful it is to follow Jesus. And the more I'm like Christ, the more my wife will want to be under my leadership. If I can lead like Jesus, I'll be a leader worth following. That's what I need to try to be. I want to try to be a leader like Jesus. I've got a couple more. I'm going to go quickly. I understand that while my position is one of leadership, my command is to love unconditionally. My focus needs to be on what God commanded me to do, not on what God commanded my wife to do. And I will love my wife unconditionally, whether she submits to my authority or not. Wow, this is a challenge. Some of us say, well, when she starts submitting, I'll start loving. And the wife will say, well, when he starts loving, I'll start submitting. We're never going to get anywhere that way, are we? But it's not about what God told them to do. If you have kids, you understand this. You tell one kid to do their chores, and they'll say, but Susie, right? Or Johnny, or those are the good generic names. But they didn't do it. And we say, I'm not talking to them, I'm talking to you. Don't worry about what everybody else is supposed to do. Worry about what you're supposed to do. And if we would do that as Christians, as a husband, if I would love unconditionally, like God said to love unconditionally, and not worry about whether she's submitting to me or not, I am doing my job, and God will help the other to work out. I have enough on my plate trying to do what I'm supposed to do without trying to get my wife to do what she's supposed to do. I'll just keep trying to love her the way I'm supposed to, and not worry about whether or not she's submitting the way she's supposed to. You may wonder why I'm doing such a good job preaching this message tonight. Well, I've had a lot of practice. We used to joke about this. If nobody showed up to Sunday school, I'd just preach on submission that day. Okay, so I haven't really had a lot of practice on this, and I'm really not doing that great job teaching this. Just wanted to wake you up. My love for my wife will not be based on her performance. This is the last principle that I have for men. I'm going to go through the wives just really, really quickly. But my love for my wife will not be based on her performance. This is just a standard. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to love her regardless of what she does. I'm going to love her regardless of whether she submits or loves me back. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's a good thing Jesus doesn't love me based on my performance. I'd be in trouble. And I'm commanded to love my wife like Jesus loves sinful people just like me. I hope my wife doesn't submit to me based on how well I love her, because I'm going to fail. I hope she gives me some margin for error. I need to give her some margin for error. And that's a reminder that marriage isn't a 50-50 commitment. You've heard that. Marriage, 50-50. You give 50, I give 50. No, marriage is a 100-100 commitment. I will give everything that I am supposed to give, whether she does or not. I'll give 100% to love her and lead her as Christ would, even if she doesn't give 100%. Those are some thoughts personally. Some standards. Some things I can do to obey what God said to do. I'm going to do this very quickly, but I wrote down a few for wives. I will honor my husband's God-given authority in our home. I will not argue with my husband or correct him publicly. I will not go against my husband behind his back. I'll strive to lift up my husband's office in front of my children. Okay, husband's office is not like his home office, right? It's his title. It's his job. He's the leader, right? He's the husband. I will support my husband as he disciplines our children. I'll submit to my husband, not because of how great of a leader he is, but because of how good of a Christian I'm trying to be. I know it will be difficult to always submit to my husband because he's a sinful man, but it is right because that's God's plan. I know that my husband will fail in his responsibility to love me like Jesus loves the church, so I will decide to forgive him ahead of time and support him anyway. And here's the last one. I will search the scriptures to learn how to be a godly wife and then keep working to fulfill God's plan for my life. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You got a scripture. We found some principles. You can believe something. Based on that, you can form a conviction. Here's what I believe. And based on what you believe, let me challenge you to form some standards for your family. How do you live? When we talk about standards, I know we're always thinking standards are what kind of music we listen to, what kind of clothes we're going to wear. Well, no, standards are just guidelines. Standards are, here's what I'm going to live by in order to obey the Word of God. And if you will take this scripture, this is another example of how to do it. If you'll take this scripture and say, okay, how do I live that? How can I live the Bible? This will help you. And in this case, it's going to help you to have a really great marriage. Father, I pray that you would use this lesson tonight. Lord, I believe that if we will get into your Word and we'll study it, that you'll have so much to teach us and so many areas that we could learn, that we can, like we learned tonight, be a better husband or be a better wife. Lord, there's so many areas that you've addressed, and if we would, as Christians, if we'd get into your Word, we would find the scripture, we would learn the principle, we would develop a conviction, and then we would decide on some standards that would help us to live. Lord, I believe we'd be able to live a life to please you. And I pray that you'd help us to do that.